Welcome to the 99 Relapses Podcast. Are you struggling with addiction? Do you need inspiration, education, and empowerment? Online Christian recovery coach and counselor, James Egidio, is here for you. Join him as he helps listeners journey through addiction and recovery by avoiding relapse through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are not alone. With 32 years of sobriety under his belt, our host is ready to walk with you. Let's get started. Here is James Egidio.
Hi, I'm James Egidio, your host of the 99 Relapses Podcast, the podcast that moves you from recovery to discovery through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is episode number 23, part 4 of the Addicted Brain Function, and this is the final episode of this four-part series. Just to recap episode number 22, I compared and contrasted the function of the normal brain in the limbic system, that is, versus the traumatized or stressed or addicted limbic system. And in this final episode of this four-part series, I will conclude with the function of the addicted brain or the limbic system of the brain. The addicted brain, or what's called the reward deficiency brain, processes various events that come through our senses and are relayed to various parts of the brain. And the limbic system colors or tags these events by processing them with a response as either safe or dangerous, as I had mentioned, the fight or flight response or even the freeze response. And if processed as dangerous because of trauma, both real or imagined, it reacts by creating anxiety or depression. And in episode number 20, titled The Addicted Brain Structure, I mentioned that the limbic system does not have a memory like the neocortex, which is the front of the brain, another section of the brain that I had mentioned in episode number 20. So in essence, the limbic system cannot distinguish the difference between yesterday and 30 years ago. I also mentioned this in a previous episode. And this explains why some of our childhood traumas still trigger us today. If an event is tagged or processed having to do with survival, that is that fight or flight response or that freeze response, the limbic system will create or can create a focused craving for a behavior that's associated with survival in the past, or that survival response in the past, the fight or flight response. And this craving focuses our attention on that behavior until we feel safe or normal. And again, we usually turn to some addictive behavior or substance, and this is how an addiction is created. Now, the takeaway from all this is that a lot of times, addiction is not about, when it comes to substance abuse, getting high, but it's more of a way to feel normal and free from that stress that comes on through that fight or flight response, through the limbic system. The conscious mind or cortex learns to cooperate with the survival behavior, that is the addiction, and it protects it from being challenged by a filtering process called denial. So you'll find that when a lot of people are struggling with an addiction, or you may have even struggled with an addiction, and you're in the middle of out of control addiction, that is, you'll end up a lot of times being in denial about that. And especially when there's intervention involved. And this, of course, results in the addicted brain. When you're in a state of fear, anxiety, or stress, the limbic system kicks in and works independently from your conscious mind. And this explains why we a lot of times do the things that we don't want to do. The best example of this, where the limbic system is programmed or has become programmed, is when, let's say, for instance, you grew up in a dysfunctional family that resulted in feelings of vulnerability, hurt, abandonment, and even isolation. So the way this works is, in order to survive in that type of environment day after day, your brain's limbic system becomes programmed to believe that you don't need anybody, then you're not vulnerable. And if you're not vulnerable, you won't get hurt. And of course, this in turn allows the limbic system to respond with an automatic flight, fight, or freeze response to these perceived fears of vulnerability. So what happens is the limbic system responds automatically and even subconsciously when trust issues come up. And then the limbic system may even react as it was programmed throughout childhood, responding with that anxiety, that overreacting to perceived fear or vulnerabilities. The next thing I want to talk about is what's called the limbic lag. And the way this works is, even though you may have discovered and experienced false beliefs, and I talked about false beliefs in episodes number 15 through 17, and I highly encourage you, the listener, to go back and listen to those episodes on false beliefs and true beliefs, belief systems. And like I said, the way this works is with uncovered lies and a new truth takes place. Okay. So you're in childhood, these false beliefs come from lies that may have been told to you. And from the time that you learn those false beliefs, or even those true beliefs, but primarily the false beliefs, there's a time lag between what your limbic system believes and what your neocortex, again, the neocortex is the front of the brain that stores the memory, has learned. And this is called the limbic lag. And this is a process that can be anywhere from a couple of months to years, but it does become and does get shorter as you continue to challenge those false beliefs. The way you challenge those false beliefs and those traumatic memories is through risk. And that risk is moving toward those fears. Now, you have to remember, as I had mentioned in previous episodes, that change that you have to make to overcome those false beliefs comes from risk. And risk, of course, comes from faith, and that faith comes from trusting in Jesus Christ in all situations in your life. And one of the best Bible verses when it comes to trusting Jesus speaks volumes in Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 through 31, and it reads, "Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost.' But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage. I am here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?'" And that verse speaks volumes when you're going through the middle of an addiction and you're going through that storm, depression, anxiety, and those hopeless feelings, and you take your eyes off Jesus, you become very anxious, depressed, and hopeless. And I can't emphasize it enough that keeping your eyes on the Lord through your addiction and even without addiction, that is so important to get through these storms in life. And like I said, I can't emphasize that enough for your sobriety. The other verse that I would like to share with you comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. And that reads, "This is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So that's another Bible verse to keep in mind when you're going through the storms of addiction and through the anxiety and the fear. Another characteristic of the limbic system is that as anxiety and fear increase, the limbic system will focus on the addictive behavior. And it will use that addictive behavior as a comfort mechanism. And it's used for past events to make that fear subside. So it becomes like a safety net that addiction does. And this is called craving. And the important thing to take away from this is that with a new identity based on new beliefs, you can change this pattern and reprogram your limbic system. Addictions don't actually make the fear go away. They only anesthetize the awareness of it. And you may have even heard that expression, numbing the pain with, you could fill in the blank on that. And that's all it does. That's all these addictions do, is they just numb the pain. You hear people say that all the time that are addicted. And change happens one decision at a time. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through your addiction, and I had an episode that I did with a gentleman by the name of Paul Ganger, and we talked about that. We talked about how it's baby steps when it comes to addiction and accepting faith through your addiction. So the thing to keep in mind is that, again, these changes happen one decision at a time. No matter what your emotions tell you would feel good to do through drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, or whatever, listen to what your mind knows and capture those thoughts and do what is best or right. And this is even illustrated in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, which reads, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey God." So not trusting or being able to bond with others, as I mentioned in earlier episodes, that whole thing about support structures with other people leads to a lot of fear, anxiety, and loneliness, and even isolation and even self-gratification. The thing to remember is, since the heart is negatively programmed through these hurtful experiences with others, it must be healed through opposite experiences. And I'll even talk about that with forgiveness, because forgiveness plays a huge role in overcoming anxiety, loneliness, and isolation that addicted individuals tend to do. We isolate ourselves from other people. When we can't get our needs met from others, we learn to self-gratify and self-medicate. And addiction stems from this self-gratification and this rebellion. And in the end, what ends up happening is we hurt ourselves and loved ones. And as I said before in previous episodes, it leads to a multitude of sins. And this is why recovery that heals and what drives self-destructive behavior is a process of learning to trust again. That's so important to keep in mind. The main thing is there's hope, and that hope comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I just want to thank you so much for joining me in this four-part series on the brain, on the structure and function of the brain. That is episodes 20 through 24, and I just really appreciate you listening to the 99 Relapses podcast. Thank you for joining me this episode of the 99 Relapses podcast. For current podcast episodes, episode show notes, episode memory verses, as well as episode recovery lessons and tools, go to the 99 Relapses podcast. That's the number 99relapses.org. That's the number 99relapses.org. Also, if you'd like to make a prayer request for yourself, family, or a friend, please do not hesitate to email me your prayer request at 99relapses. Again, that's the number 99relapses, and do not forget to like me on Facebook. Also, as a side note, if you have an interesting story to share about how God has changed your life through addiction and recovery, or you're an expert in the field of Christian addiction and recovery, you have published a book, a podcast, or a website, and would like to be featured as a guest on the 99 Relapses podcast, please email me anytime at james@99relapses.org, and I'll respond within 24 to 48 hours. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to the 99 Relapses podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. If you want to learn more, visit 99relapses.org. There, you can tap into information and resources like articles, videos, previous podcast episodes, a bookstore, and free downloadable recovery tools and exercises. You can even reach out to us via email. Just visit 99relapses.org.